Our Father in heaven, the great Almighty God, the one who loves us and who cares for us, the one who has created all things according to his perfect wisdom. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come before your presence to worship you. And we pray that you be pleased to be in our midst. That the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth. Help us to understand the meaning of being created in the image of God, your intentions for our lives, and how we can grow and develop well, that more and more we may indeed be conformed to the image of Christ. We commit this time to your loving hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 38th message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 7th message, considering how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the 4th message, and the subtopic for today, meaning of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And what it means to make progress, what it involves. Meaning of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and what it means to make progress, what it involves. I'm sure all of us do have some idea of what is moral, spiritual beauty and stature, but it's helpful to be clearer about this vital area of life. It will help us to understand how to make good progress. Growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is meant to communicate growth in the direction of the scriptural goal of being complete, or we can also translate it as mature in Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 8. We can also say it is to become a mature man of the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. And the words of the Lord Jesus, to be perfect as God is perfect. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. It is to develop to the fullest potential of God's intention for man, created in the image of God. A primary aspect of moral, spiritual beauty and stature is moral character. To be holy as God is holy, as Peter exhorts us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. But it is more than just development of moral character. The scriptural goal is to become a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13, an important verse that we have looked at from time to time, and this in the context of Paul describing how God's intentions for man can be attained through healthy church life. And in verse 13, he tells us, after mentioning in verses 11 onwards, how God has given gifts for the equipping of the saints, the building of the body of Christ, and then he tells us the direction, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, that is the direction, the goal, and of the knowledge of the Son of Man to a mature man. That is the goal for each one of us, to become mature. And Paul elaborates in verse 13, the meaning of being a mature man is to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So here it is not physical maturity, it is spiritual, moral maturity. Up to what level? What is the height of it? It is up to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 13, Paul also in this verse mentioning about the mature man and the measure of the stature of Christ, also mentions about the knowledge of the Son of God, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So we can see the knowledge of the Son of God, our knowledge of the Lord, is a meaningful and integral part of the path of maturity. But the goal that God wants us to aim towards is not just some measure, but to the fullest measure, to the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 15, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." So we are to grow up in all aspects into Him. Not just some aspects, but all aspects. And that is important for us to bear in mind in our desire to understand the meaning of moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature. It's wholesome, complete. It involves every aspect of our development. But it is not the physical, it's the moral, spiritual. It is in Christ. So, moral is a very major aspect, but it also includes knowledge of God, knowledge of truth, grasp of truth, the depth of it, spiritual strength and stamina, power in prayer. The Lord Jesus exhorts us and tells us that we are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. I mentioned in the past that this word translated perfect here is the same word translated mature in Ephesians 4:13. To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So here again, it communicates to us that we are to rise up to the highest level in every aspect. That is the goal. To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That is the highest level in moral, spiritual stature and in every aspect. Nothing lacking. We have seen that this is the goal of Paul's ministry in the building up of believers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Colossians chapter 1, preceding verse 28, Paul had mentioned about the mystery and God's intentions for man, and how Paul has been entrusted with the stewardship of this mystery, which he tells us in the two epistles, Ephesians and Colossians, and how he concentrates his part in fulfilling what God desires of him in that direction. And a primary aspect of it has to do with God's intentions for man, and how this can be attained through and in Christ. At the heart of the mystery, he tells us in verse 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And as Paul seeks to fulfill his part, a major aspect of it is in the ministry, his ministry in the lives of believers. But prior to becoming believers, of course, he reaches out to non-believers, and after become believers, for them then to attain to the highest level, to be complete in Christ, which he tells us in verse 28. "We proclaim him," that is Christ, "admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." I've mentioned in earlier message, this word translated complete here is the same word translated mature in Ephesians 4:13 and translated perfect in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. To present every man complete or mature in Christ. So again here, the word complete communicates to us is every aspect. Every aspect developed to the fullest. And it is complete in Christ. I mentioned just now, it's not physical, it's not of this world, not the temporal, but it is moral, spiritual, stature, and maturity of God's kingdom that endures. And you'll see afterwards, it's precious. What is truly precious in the sight of God and God's kingdom? What is the meaning of moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature? What is it at the heart of it? What is it? I say it's helpful to appreciate it from this angle. That at the heart of it, the meaning of moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature is quality of being. The quality of our being. And at the heart of the meaning of quality of being is the moral, spiritual quality of our being. Growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature involves development of moral character and also the quality of our spirit. It involves moral, spiritual health and maturity. After this, I will share briefly the distinction between spiritual health and maturity. It involves, why I mentioned moral, spiritual, is because it involves the moral as well as spiritual dimensions. And the direction of growth, the goal, as you've seen just now, mature man, complete in Christ, perfect as God is perfect, we can put it in another way that the direction of growth or goal is our perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can also say the goal, the direction of it is the being of God. To grow in maturity in Christ, increasingly conform to the image of Christ, that is God's intentions for us before the foundation of the world, which we saw in the earlier message. Romans 8:29, conform to the image of Christ. Christ increasingly formed in us. So to grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is to become more and more like God in His moral, spiritual beauty and stature. God is perfect. And He's perfect in His moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And as we grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, we become more and more like God in His moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We become more and more like God in His being and character with an important qualification. That is, there are aspects to the being of God we'll never attain to, and we should not even try to attain to them. They are uniquely the attributes of God. Again, I've mentioned in earlier messages, for example, God's omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience. We can never become God. This is an aspect of false teaching. We must not even try or aim to become God. He is the Creator, and we are His creation. There will always be this distinction and this difference between man and God. God is self-existent, and He's not dependent on any other being for His existence and well-being. This is not true of us. We are God's creation, and we are dependent on God. We'll always be dependent on God for our existence and our well-being. we can say the direction of growth or the goal is the man aspect of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. When we say conform to the image of Christ, it's actually growth in the direction of increasingly more and more like the Lord Jesus in the man aspect of the God-man. We can say this is at the heart of the meaning of the Lord Jesus as our perfect example. His coming into this world, one objective is to show us how men should live, our perfect example. He is God's idea of the perfect man and perfect life. He is God's intention for man. The example, the model, the ideal, and the goal of our growth in moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature. As I mentioned earlier, even before the foundation of the world, God's intentions for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. The word beauty and growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. The beauty there is meant to communicate beauty of being. And this is true beauty. What we should be very concerned about, it is inner beauty. The beauty of the inner man, of the heart and spirit. Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Peter writes, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." In this context, we see Peter, the Apostle Peter, is talking about beauty. He says, your adornment must not be merely external. When people put on adornment, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses and so on, it pertains to beauty. But it's external beauty. So in contrast, Peter says, your adornment must not be merely external. Then verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. So here, the context, Peter is talking about beauty, and he tells us what is more important. What we should concentrate upon is not external beauty, although there is a place for that, but he says we should concentrate upon inner beauty, the beauty of the inner man, the hidden person of the heart, the quality of our spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. The hidden person of the heart may not be immediately obvious. It is not external beauty, but it is the real person. What constitutes the quality of the being? And the Apostle Peter tells us that this is true beauty in the eyes of God, and it is truly precious. Precious in the sight of God. Verse 4. So notice, in contrast to external beauty, this is what is really important to concentrate upon, the hidden person of the heart, which includes the spirit, and is imperishable. It involves the spirit, quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, and it is precious in the sight of God. This verse is rich in meaning. It is true beauty in the sight of God and truly precious. It is of enduring value, imperishable. Verse 4. It is beauty from the perspective of God's kingdom, that which really counts. And this is the beauty that will continue on. It continues on and it endures in God's eternal kingdom. So Peter uses the word imperishable. This is what really matters. What we should concentrate upon. Let us take note that the more we grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the greater will be the beauty of our being, the true measurement of true beauty of man and the quality of his life and his true worth. That which really pleases God, that is that which is really precious. What God looks for in man. This is what we are talking about when we consider moral, spiritual beauty and stature. The word stature refers to maturity. How much have we grown in Christ? In Ephesians 4:13, we referred to just now, Paul wrote that we are to move in the direction of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the stature there is a reference to how much have we grown in that direction, how much have we grown in Christ, how mature are we, how much have we grown in the direction of the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The ultimate is the stature of Christ. It is helpful to differentiate spiritual health and maturity and stature. Maturity and stature referring to the same area, and to distinguish that from spiritual health. Both are important, and there's a relationship between them, but they are not the same. Spiritual health refers to our spiritual state at any moment of time. And we can be spiritually healthy. This can be true at any moment of time, even the moment we become Christians. It is possible. But not so with maturity. Maturity, stature takes time to develop. But spiritual health can be true the moment we become Christians. It refers to the positive attitude of heart and spirit, the depth of our response to God, the depth of our commitment, the meaning of our relationship with God, the freshness, and the relative absence of negative features in our heart and spirit. Because spiritual health, bear in mind, they are varying degrees. Spiritual maturity, it takes time to develop. But the spiritually healthy may not be so stable because they may not be so strong, knowledgeable, mature. And if they are not careful, they may give way and crumble under pressure, attacks, and wiles of the evil one. Those who are mature, spiritually, their spiritual stature, they are not so likely to crumble because they are stronger, they are more knowledgeable, they are more able to overcome, but they must remain humble, vigilant, prayerful, and continually dependent on God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 is followed by verse 14. Verse 14 says, as a result, that is, as we move in the direction of maturity in Christ, then he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. So here indicates to us, as we move in the direction of maturity, which we should, then we are not so unstable. We are not so easily tossed here and there. And we are not so easily deceived, whether it be led astray by wrong doctrines or by trickery, whether it can be of men or behind it all, the deceitful schemes of the evil one. The more mature are not so likely and not so easily led astray, although it still can happen if they are not careful. There is a relationship between spiritual health and spiritual maturity or stature. Spiritual health is very important for good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And we need to bear in mind that spiritual health is dynamic. It must be carefully maintained and nurtured. Otherwise, it will fluctuate, it can degenerate, and this will straight away affect our growth, how well we are making progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and also how well we are able to respond appropriately, positively in the situations that we go through. The more healthy we are, and the more consistently so, the better for growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. So one major aspect we need to bear in mind, to pay attention to, if we want to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, is our spiritual health. The immediate and attainable objective of the believer should be spiritual health. All of us can straight away attain spiritual health, even for the believer, the one who has just turned to the Lord, the young believer. The moment we turn to the Lord, we can have spiritual health. As I mentioned, it has to do with the attitude of our heart and spirit. To what degree are we prepared to respond deeply to God and to turn away from all that is negative, to consecrate our lives deeply to God? All this is feasible even for the young believer and continues to be feasible for all believers at any stage of their spiritual pilgrimage. And this is something that we must constantly pay attention to maintain spiritual health and also to nurture it further, because spiritual health, there are varying degrees of quality. The long-term objective, that would be both spiritual health and spiritual maturity and stature. We must continually maintain spiritual health, and as we do so, we also grow. And the long-term objective is to attain to spiritual maturity while at the same time continuing to have spiritual health. So ultimately, both spiritually mature and healthy. Question: is it possible for a person A, who is less mature than B, to be spiritually healthier than B? The answer is yes. You may expect the more mature to be spiritually more healthier, but this is not necessarily so. B may be more mature than A. B at one point of time may be spiritually healthy and he has made efforts and he has grown. But at this point in time, he has not been so careful. It can also take place for a period of time and there are various things that are not so positive that has crept into his life. But basically, in terms of his spiritual maturity, he has not degenerated so bad that the moral spiritual stature has become so very, very low. So A may be more healthy than B at that point in time, but A hasn't caught up yet with B in maturity. However, if this persists, then with passing time, A can become more mature as well as spiritually healthier than B. Is it easy to tell who has grown more, who is more mature in Christ? Is there some way to measure moral, spiritual beauty and stature? When the difference is great and obvious, it can at times be quite clear that one, a person, say A, has grown more, is more mature than B. But often it is not clear, and we can be easily mistaken, especially where the difference is not great, and afterwards I'll go on to share various reasons why it is often not easy to tell who is more mature, who has grown more. We will reflect on why this is so, not to encourage comparison, nor promote trying to measure one another's moral, spiritual beauty and stature. This is not helpful. But to caution us to be careful, not to conclude too quickly or be overconfident of our assessment. And more importantly, our considerations will help us understand more fully what constitutes moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and what to pay attention to if we want to make good progress. So I want now to go on to this area of what constitutes moral, spiritual beauty and stature. A major reason why it is difficult to tell and measure moral, spiritual beauty and stature is there are multi-facets or aspects to moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And not only that, the different aspects may not be growing equally in the same person. And this, later on we'll see there are different facets, and a person may be growing well in some aspects but not growing so well in other aspects. And this can be further complicated by difference in constitutional makeup when we try to compare different persons, or even trying to understand a person if we do not sufficiently bear in mind his constitutional makeup, we can come to a wrong understanding. And also, spiritual gifts and God's calling for the person. I'll elaborate on some of this afterwards. And it is also difficult even to perceive and to assess accurately the meaning and quality of the presence and manifestations of each facet. For example, effectiveness in prayer. That is part of moral, spiritual stature, to be effective in prayer. But it's not easy to be able to perceive accurately, to assess how effective is a person in the area of prayer. We hear A praying, we hear B praying. Is it easy to tell who is more effective? So I'll go on now to some examples of the multi-facets. Just bear in mind for today, I'll just be covering some examples. It will not be exhaustive, and the Lord willing, I might refer to other aspects in subsequent message. So for example, just now I mentioned about the issue of prayer. This is one facet. Able to pray relatively well, privately, as well as in a group context. Now if you observe a group of believers praying, and in that context, we may find that A may stand out. As far as you can see, he can pray relatively well compared to the rest in the group. Now, the first part has to do with whether we have assessed it correctly or wrongly. But even if we have assessed it correctly, and we may think then that A is of greater spiritual stature than the rest because he can pray relatively well and more effectively than the rest. But is that so? On another occasion, or we know this group relatively well, we can consider other contexts when they are studying the Bible, or different other ways in which there are manifestations of the relative understanding of the scriptures in relation to the various ones in the group. And then we will find that, as far as we can understand, B may stand out, not A. B's understanding of the Bible seems to be much better, his understanding of the truth in the Bible. And we are not just talking about head knowledge, but ability to appreciate the truth. And this is relevant in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, although at the moment I'm not going into details of exactly how this contributes in what form, but it is relevant, a person's knowledge of the truth, of what God has revealed. And then if we consider another dimension or other context, for example, the area of interaction with people, we may find that C stands out more, better than A or B. The C is more understanding towards people, more able to empathize, identify with those who are in difficulties, in pain, who are struggling, and C is more readily able to provide a listening ear, to give a sense of warmth and support to those in difficulties. And others find that they can share what is in their hearts with C more readily, relatively easily. And this is helpful. And it's also an area that we should all nurture. All these three areas, we should all seek to nurture. They are relevant, they are helpful, and part of our growth, our development. But in this area, C may be better than A and B. But bear in mind, as I said, the first part is to understand it accurately, because sometimes we look at others, C may seem more understanding and so on, but in reality it is not so. It may only appear to be, but the reality is he may not really identify, but he may appear to identify, and so on. Then D may be very cheerful and also has a joyful spirit and disposition. And those who come into contact with D may sense their an upliftment of their spirit and encouragement, just be present, relating with D. Of course, it doesn't mean A and B and C doesn't have any of this, but I'm just trying to list out that all these are helpful, but it may not mean that all of us develop equally in all areas. Then another aspect is a person who makes you feel accepted, even if there are deficiencies and failures in your lives. Though not condoning, which is wrong, not condoning of wrongdoing, but when you come into his presence, well, his includes her. When you come into his presence, you don't feel condemned, but you feel accepted. He doesn't condone your wrongdoing, but he'll accept you and he'll help you from there, and you can sense it that way, and it helps you. Then there are those who are more approachable. When you have any difficulties, you find it easier to approach them, and that is helpful. But those who are the person who is more approachable, can he really interact and help you in depth? Which is also relevant and important. It's good to have both, to be both approachable and at the same time can interact and help others in depth. This leads me to the next point, the ability to discern the real underlying issues. When you talk to a person or your assessment of a situation, quite quickly you're able to, or it may take time, but you can discern, recognize what are the real underlying issues, not just what appears to be, and sometimes even beyond what the person may be telling you. How to ask questions that are relevant, that can bring out the real issues, and a good grasp and understanding of the truth principles involved, and all this that enable you to give really good, effective counsel that goes beyond just a listening ear, but you're really able to help the person accurately and in depth. First, to understand the real issues, and then to help the person in depth. The other is understanding of situations, and then how to respond to it effectively, the way the Lord desires. Another aspect that is helpful that we need also to nurture is the ability to be objective. Again, here's a question of relative, question of degree. The only one who is absolutely objective all the time is God. Being objective is the ability to see things clearly and accurately, what it really is, as God sees it, and not blurred, not distorted by personal inclinations or emotion or biases and our personal circumstances. In this area, we need to exercise care, to be careful, because there's a tendency for us to think that we are right, and so if others differ from us, then they are wrong and they are being subjective. Well, at times that may be true, but we need to be careful, because in reality we may be the ones who are not objective. So ultimately, we all need to continually look to the Lord, because God is the only one who is absolutely objective and sees all things accurately, and we must try our best to learn to see things the way God sees and ask Him to help us and be continually open. Seek the Lord, evaluate, to seek to understand, and then we can become more and more clear. The next, another aspect is diligence. But we should not be mistaken just because we see an individual who is very hardworking, put in a lot of hard work, it means that person is diligent in the sense we are talking about here. For diligence to be positive in meaning, diligence in relation to moral, spiritual beauty and stature, it has to do with diligence in the truth, and especially diligent in what matters, what is of true value. We can be very diligent in pursuing after the things of the world, that is of no use. In fact, that is negative. The other is motivation. Even if our objective appears good, in the sense, for example, we want to understand the scriptures, we want to develop prayer life, and so on, but the motivation is critical. We are diligent, but what is it that motivates us? So that others can praise us, recognize us, we can gain recognition? Or are we truly motivated by our love for the Lord, love for people, love for the truth? Related to this is perseverance. Again, it's not just someone who will keep working at something. There are many in the world who can be very persevering in pursuing after their own goals, and even Christians in Christian context may appear very persevering, but it is not true perseverance as a quality in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Here it has to do with perseverance in the truth, what is right, what is in the will of God, and in the face of difficulties, opposition, especially spiritual opposition that can be manifested in different forms, including circumstances that are difficult. But one who has moral, spiritual, and beauty and stature and aspect of it is the persevering. He will carry on being faithful to God even in the face of difficulties. So it's a question of degree. How persevering? So the factors would include how difficult is the situation, how pressurizing, how difficult, and to what degree the person is still persevering. Related to it is the spiritual strength. When we have spiritual strength, we will be more able to persevere. Our reliance on God. Are we relying on God? The degree in which we rely on the Lord will also enable us to persevere well. The depth of our commitment to the Lord, to the truth. Another major aspect area is the relative presence or absence of negative features and weaknesses. To what degree these negative features and weaknesses are present or absent in our lives is relevant. For example, impatience, being impulsive, irritable, sensitive here in a negative sense. We can be sensitive in a positive sense. Sensitive in a positive sense means sensitive to the Lord. There's a positive feature to the will of the Lord, sensitive to the situation, so that it helps us to be accurate in the perception of the situation of the person and the state of the person and so on. But here, sensitive in a negative sense, in the sense that we more easily react to how others treat us, think of us, or what appears to us to be how people are treating us, and then not responding appropriately as God desires of us, inappropriate response. More stronger term description of that would be being reactive. But to what degree? And many of us do have some of these elements within us. Again, a question of degree. But if we are not careful, we may also easily conclude wrongly on another individual who may appear rather irritable or impulsive or impatient, but we may not sufficiently understand the person's context or the constitutional makeup of the person, which can make the person more easily irritable, so more difficult for the person. I mentioned just now there are various of these issues that can make it more difficult for us to understand what is going on, and we need to bear in mind that these are factors to take into consideration. Likewise, how pressurizing, to what degree the evil one is at work in that person's life. One is in that particular situation, the other can be over a period of time. How difficult it is for the person. So you may see the person seem rather irritable, more easily irritated. Another person seems rather calm and not so easily irritable. But in reality, we may conclude it may not be that way in terms of the real qualities within the person's heart, what it means. The presence of pride. A person who likes to show off, to project himself, self-exaltation, egoistic. Sometimes we observe some of these that are manifested in very gross forms, obvious forms, and it's rather jarring. But bear in mind that these can also be of forms that are not obvious to observers or even to the person himself. It can be deep-seated. And deep within our hearts, we may actually nurse or harbor personal ambitions, desires for recognition, for power, for authority, and we may not be even very conscious that there are these things within us. But they can be present and can be of a form that is quite serious, which the evil one can exploit and can then become give rise to significant problems. Complacent, passive. This is an issue that some of us in recent times may be thinking about as we seek to work out together in church life. But here again, we need to exercise care. Although it's true, being complacent, being passive is a weakness, is something negative, but we need to exercise care before we conclude too quickly how problematic this is in a person's life. Again, we need to bear in mind various factors that can be operative, including constitutional makeup. There are some who, by nature, tend to be more quiet, more reserved, and so for the person to speak up can be more difficult. Others speak up more readily, more easily. There can also be various considerations why a person may choose not to speak up so quickly or do not speak up so much, which may then be mistaken as passivity, complacency, but in reality it may not be so. So there can be various factors that may be operative in a certain situation, and if we are not careful, we just look at the outward manifestations, we may conclude wrongly, and even if there's a weakness in that area, how significant it is. But it is relevant. To what degree are we working at the truth, what we have come to understand, or to what degree have we just let things be? Fearful, sense of insecurity, anxiety, worry, or being anxious and worried, these are not helpful, and having this within us is the opposite direction of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And we need to look to the Lord to help us to overcome these elements. Again here, to what degree is present in a person, we need to give room and not to conclude quickly, as constitutional makeup can also be a factor, and the person's background, upbringing, and how difficult is the situation, how the evil is working in that context, and so on. There are many of these factors that can be operative in a given situation. But it is still true that the presence of these things in a person's life is not helpful, is negative. On the other side of it, to what degree a person has nurtured the quality of his faith in God, his rest in God, his joy and peace in God. These are positive qualities, and there is such a reality. How deeply a person has nurtured these realities in his heart and spirit. Weakness in the area of food, sex, attractions and pleasures of this life. Some can be very weak in all these areas, but it's also true that different ones can be weak or weaker in different areas. So if we are not careful, we look at a person, and even if we assess correctly that the person is rather weak in that particular area, then we regard him as rather immature. But we need to bear in mind the total person. This person may be weaker in this area. But again here, the issue of we need to factor in constitutional makeup, the degree of exposure to temptations, the background, the upbringing of a person, all these are relevant. Now bear in mind that enjoyment of good food is not in itself a weakness. learning how to enjoy some of the things in this world, be able to enjoy them, need not be a weakness. But it's when these things hinder our walk with God, when they become a distraction in our lives, when they preoccupy us, when they draw us away from the Lord, our relationship with God, and what God desires us to concentrate upon, then it becomes a problem. Likewise, desire for recognition, fame, reputation, status, authority, desire for wealth, possessions, to what degree there are these elements present in the heart and spirit of the believer, and as I mentioned, it can be different in different ones in the same person, and or rather different ones can be weaker in different areas. Finally, preoccupied with self and self-interest hurts, and lacking in concern and consideration for others and their welfare. To a degree this is present in our lives, we are always so very conscious of ourselves and our own interests and preoccupied with it, and perceive hurts, imaginary or real, and together with that, not so conscious, not so attentive or oblivious in a more extreme form of others and their hurts and pains, and how to be concerned for them and their welfare. Again, here we must be careful not to quickly conclude about other people and their context. What appears to be can be quite different from the reality. But there is a reality here in these various areas, facets that are relevant, that we need to pay attention to in our desire to grow in a wholesome way in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. I mentioned just now at the beginning, not only different facets, but that different aspects can be growing, may not be growing equally, and also how this can be complicated by different constitutional makeup. I gave some examples along the way about difference in constitutional makeup and how this can make a difference and can complicate the picture. I also mentioned about being complicated by difference in spiritual gifts and calling. So for example, in the area of understanding of the scriptures, all of us must seek to understand the truth in the scriptures. But it's also true that some are more able to understand the truth in the scriptures more readily, and this can be related to God's calling for this person's life, especially in the area of preaching, teaching. So a person's ability to more readily understand the Bible, sometimes we may conclude wrongly to what degree the person is more healthy or not so healthy in this area, or more mature. We need to bear in mind, likewise, in the area of prayer, God may be calling some to be more, to concentrate more on prayer, although we all need to grow in every aspect of our lives, and all of us need to seek the Lord to develop our prayer life. But some, the Lord may want to concentrate more on prayer, and it may be relatively easier for those called in that direction to develop in their prayer life, and so on, in various other aspects. We need to pay attention to all aspects of development of quality of being. We noted just now, we need to grow up in all aspects in Christ. not just some. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, Ephesians 4:15. This is needful for wholesome development. Some concluding remarks. We need to take note that any area that's neglected or not developing well will adversely affect the total being and total development. Not just that aspect being affected, but you affect the total being. This can help us appreciate God allowing us to go through various kinds of situations and trials for our total learning and development in every aspect of our being, so that our weaknesses, deficiencies can be exposed, so that they can be dealt with, and also opportunities to nurture the positive. Why James says, count it all joy when you encounter various or all kinds of trials in James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, which we refer to from time to time. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That is, if you go through it well. And let endurance have its perfect result, the direction, the goal of it. And if it moves well, if you continue to persevere, to go through it well, the perfect result, direction of it, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So that is the goal, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, the total development of quality of being in every aspect, total wholesome development. Same as what we looked at earlier on, Ephesians 4:13, mature man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, complete or mature in Christ. And by the way, the word translated perfect here in James chapter 1 verse 4 is the same word translated mature, complete, perfect that we've seen earlier in the three references we looked at. So let us make the most of the opportunities God grants us to learn well, to learn deeply in the midst of the many different kinds of situations we go through, including and especially the difficult situations. It's meant for our total development, every aspect of our being. And it is sad if we fail to do so, if we become overconscious of the pain and the difficulties that results in a negative response or feeble response, or worse, if we react negatively to it, or we become just miserable in that context. The different aspects or facets of moral, spiritual beauty and stature that we looked at earlier, this as issue, is just like different parts of the human body. We can compare it to different parts of the human body. The health of each part of the body at the physical level, we know, is relevant to the total health of the person. For example, the condition and the health of the person's eyes, ears, or his hearing ability, his hands, his legs, and so on, all these are relevant to the total health of the person. And also those parts that are not so obvious, not so visible, the heart, the brain, the liver, the kidneys, the digestive system. In fact, many of these parts that are not so obvious are extremely important. We know if something seriously wrong with the heart, it's fatal. Likewise, the brain or the digestive system, the liver. Likewise, the different facets of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, how healthy, how strong or unhealthy we are in each facet, each aspect, they are all relevant to the total moral, spiritual health and stature of the person. And some aspects that may not be so visible to others, or we may not be so conscious of, but they are more deep-seated, may be even more important and significant. The condition and health of each part of the human body affects the health of the person And the various parts also affect one another directly or indirectly. So if your digestive system is not functioning well, it can affect also your hands and your legs. Your heart, your brain not functioning properly, the health of the person is affected. Other parts of the body can also be affected either directly or indirectly. So even as we recognize God's desire for us to move in the direction of moral, spiritual health and stature, to become mature men, the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, be complete, mature in Christ, let us look to the Lord to help us to develop every aspect, including those areas that are not so obvious, bearing in mind that they can have significant bearing on our development. And especially deep-seated deficiencies we are not so conscious of can have significant hindrances, can pose a significant hindrance to our development. We need to pray to the Lord that in His grace and mercy, He will help us and grant us receptive hearts and spirit so that we may be able to recognize these deficiencies and to overcome them by His grace. Let us now prepare our hearts to partake Lord's Supper. We will stop our consideration of the subject at this point.